Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, the NFL season has begun. How was the Thursday night game for you?
Well, this isn't the Friday episode. This is the Thursday episode.
No, this is the Friday episode. This is after
the Bears posting? Then when are we posting the season, preview picks and stuff?
On Saturday or Sunday or whatever.
That's insane.
No?
Why would you post that one episode people want to hear when the season is already started?
Every other podcast you've ever done only releases its episodes on Saturday nights and Sunday mornings.
Yeah, but not when the football season starts. Not when there's a hard deadline for it being irrelevant at 1 o'clock. That's insane. We'll release this tomorrow with the other ones. That's why I said it made no sense to do this differently.
Wait, what do you mean? Say that again. What do you want to do?
Release 6-5 and 4-3 on Thursday at least, and then do 1-2 and the playoff picks on Friday.
No, we're doing one big episode. We only have one more episode left after this.
Oh, this.
Now you sound flummoxed.
I'm not flummoxed. You're flummoxed. Of course I know that we have one episode after this. It just can't be released on Saturday.
Why not?
Because that's insane to release the one episode people want to hear on Saturday.
Well,
that's crazy.
It's a little presumptuous to assume anybody wants to hear it.
No, people trust me. No, release this tomorrow with the other one.
We release it Saturday. They still have more than 24 hours to consume it.
That's not a lot of time, and no, that makes no sense.
All right, so you want to release the Saturday
episode.
This is
why I wanted to do 6-5-4 and then 3-2-1 with the thing. Like, this, it made no sense.
Yeah, you know what makes no sense?
A separate episode.
Giving less, giving like no shrift whatsoever. You only say shrift after the word short, I just thought of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just said shrift.
Yeah, giving no shrift to the top three teams and just smushing them into one like little 32-minute episode.
Doesn't matter because you talk about the top teams when you talk about who's going to make the Super Bowl.
Spent,
you don't talk about the Redskins.
32 stupid minutes on like the garbage teams, Washington and
yeah.
the Giants.
All right, we made a mistake.
Yeah, lesson learned. After 5 years, we're like 10% of the way to understanding how to do this podcast correctly.
No, I think we're actually going in the opposite way because the way to do it was how we started with like talking to a different fan
yeah.
of the teams.
Yes, that is why the podcast is called what it's called. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so we're here to talk about the two teams that met in the Super Bowl last year, the fourth-ranked Rams, the third-ranked Patriots. It's kind of incredible. I mean, Keith, where has Todd Gurley been going in your fantasy drafts?
I think in a 12-team league, I think he's going in like the 14-15 range, but I haven't been there. I picked
why,
in my
I mean,
snake
I hate to sound like Bill Simmons, but why are you in snake drafts in 2019?
Why am I? I'm in two casual leagues that have snake drafts.
Anyway, but my point is, I think that sort of Todd Gurley's fantasy prospects are sort of a good analogy for the Rams in general, which is everybody's mm-hmm. forgetting that this was the best team last year. Todd Gurley is the best player in fantasy. He had 20 touchdowns last year. He was the MVP of fantasy each of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And all anybody remembers is the very last thing we saw, which was 3 points in the Super Bowl. And in Gurley's case, obviously, the whole playoffs. And everybody right. is, like, totally disrespecting this team, these players. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like this
I'm
is...
not disrespecting them.
Yeah.
I have mucho respect for them.
All right. Well, I guess you'll tell us tomorrow what your overall season...
No, I'm not saying that they're, like, winning the Super Bowl for sure. But, like, the fact that they didn't play well in the Super Bowl against the best team doesn't mean that they're going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, but I think people have not been talking about them a lot. Everybody's talking about the Eagles or the Saints in the NFC I feel like the Rams should be as favored to win as any team in the NFL right now, and they're not, and that flummoxes me. I mean, they were big favorites in the Super Bowl also, right? I mean, obviously, they thudded pretty badly, but mm-hmm. So I think that the Rams are being disrespected a lot. I think Sean McVay, like the bloom came off that rose so quickly. Everybody's just jumping to conclusions over one game. Also, I think people mm-hmm. were pissed about, how the NFC Championship game ended and the Rams sort of seemed to be there unfairly. And so,
yeah.
Yeah. But that's
right,
sort
so
of my macro
take.
That's my macro take on the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
They've just signed Jared Goff to a massive contract. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing true. Like, there's not much to say. Like, the Goffs, the Wentz of the world, they're going to get $100 million guaranteed. That's
hold on, you're putting him
works.
In the same category as Carson Wentz, though. That's high praise.
They signed the same contract.
Yeah, but most people think of Goff as, an average at best quarterback in a fortuitous system.
Well, then don't re-sign him. Like, that's what you have to pay your guys now. Kirk Cousins now is a steal.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but.
You know, what Baker Mayfield's going to get in 2 years is going to be $200 million.
Yeah. All right, let's.
What Pat Mahomes is going to get is going to get half the franchise.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's start with the Rams. Let's start with them on offense. Obviously, mm-hmm. it begins and ends with Sean McVay's scheme, right? They have these three excellent receivers. They have. I'm a little bit worried. I mean, Andrew Whitworth, who's probably their most important, offensive lineman. I would argue their most important offensive player, since we saw that they did okay in the playoffs without Gurley. He never misses a game, but he's 38 years old now.
Yeah.
Tackles can play until they're old, but I mean that's quite old.
Yeah, it's a problem. The right side, Havenstein, is maybe a weaker spot. The inside is fine. No superstars there. Like you said, three, top receivers with Cup, Woods, and Cooks.
Yeah.
Although they did really collapse. How would you rank those three guys in terms of, like, if one had to get injured? Because I have a specific ranking for them.
So do you mean, like, as a football player, not for, like,
no,
fantasy?
Importance to the team. Not for fantasy. Importance to the team.
Well, Cup is clearly the least important to the team.
But they kind of collapsed without him last year.
Did they? I don't know. I think that's
they
a little...
totally did. That once he went out, no. Look at the stats. Once he went out, they completely collapsed.
But is that because of him or because their system is just relying
on three
guys?
I would say it's Cooks, Cup, Woods. Maybe their system relies on three guys because after that, it's a couple guys they drafted.
I mean, Cooks is the most dynamic player, but Woods is their most consistent player. I think Cup is sort of icing on the cake.
I agree. He feels like a luxury, but then again, I don't know. It didn't really work without him. Like a lot of the good teams, the rookies are not playing. Like when we talked about the Chargers yesterday, like this team is not starting any rookies. They're getting very little playing time out of rookies. There's what you had last year is pretty much what you get. I mean, they're starting Clay Matthews. He's washed. Eric Weddle, Aqib Talib, returns. Like there's not there. It's a very similar team to last year. Maybe the most similar team in the NFL.
Yeah. And is that a positive or a negative?
Well, I mean, they made the Super Bowl, so that's good. Aaron Donald is the best player in the NFL. Dante Fowler is probably the most overrated player in the NFL. The rest of the, Peters and Talib is fine. Johnson and Weddle is a solid safety pair. Matthews, Littleton, Hager, I'd say a below average linebacker crew. Brockers, Joseph Day. It's the corners are fine, and then it's a one-man wrecking crew, in Aaron Donald. But how about this? Because we talked about cores. If they had to lose Goff or Aaron Donald, you think they choose, for the next 10 games, you think they choose to lose Donald, right?
No. No way.
Oh, you think that he is... So in your core ranks, Donald's ahead of Goff.
Aaron Donald is probably the best player in the NFL.
He is. I just called him
that. Yeah, okay. Jared Goff, we just...
So you'd rather have Blake Bortles and Donald than, Tanzel Smart and Jared
Goff. With Sean McVay in this offense, it's not even close. We've seen Blake Bortles be a title and a championship quarterback literally just 2 years ago.
Okay.
I don't think Bortles is that good.
I
don't think Goff is that good. Yeah. I mean, am I in the minority here on this one?
I'm not sure. It's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I want listeners to tell me. If the Rams had to lose one player, Jared Goff or Aaron Donald, who would it be?
The Rams had to lose one player.
Yeah, I think that they'd rather lose Goff, and you think they'd rather lose Donald. So, I think that if you take away Aaron Donald, this goes from a good defense to a bad defense. I mean, there's really no one else on this defense I'm really afraid of. Right? I mean, everyone else. I mean, Weddle and Talib and Matthews. These guys are like way over the hill. They're over like the hill after the hill.
I agree.
So I think Donald is just carrying a lot of weight for this team defensively.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fun. All right. Yeah. Okay. So the Rams, let's actually go straight. So actually one of the things here is that the Rams, who are we talking about today? The Rams and the Chiefs?
No, we're talking about the two teams that were just in the Super Bowl, the New England Patriots.
Okay, fine. So now you have to break the tie because both these teams had a T3 in their rankings. So the Rams and the Patriots are both third in the NFL. So now, or both third/fourth. So which one is three in the rankings? Which one is four?
You're the one who made these rankings. Why are you asking me? Number four is the Rams. Number three is the Patriots.
No, in the rankings, they're tied.
Oh. Oh.
I said this to you 10 times. Sorry. This is the 8th episode I've mentioned it, where you're going to have to break the ties at 1 and 2 and 3.
I'm trying to do work here. I'm not really listening to you. Okay. So what was your question?
Do work. You're the one who demanded to pump out 7 of these podcasts, right?
No, I'm not. I'm the one who said to you last week, let's do them. And you're like, oh, we have all next week. And I said, well, it's Memorial Day. I mean, it's Labor Day. And then I got work. And
The Rams and the Patriots each had 17 points from 6 votes. So okay. The Patriots were 1-1-4-5-2.
I would put the Rams higher. I don't think the Patriots are a good team. I know that they won the Super Bowl last year and they were in the Super Bowl the year before. And I don't really understand why.
Okay. So the Rams are 4. The Rams are 3. The Patriots are 4.
Yeah.
Fine. So technically, we should have started talking about the Patriots.
Fine. So let's start talking about the Patriots now. So
yeah.
Okay. So I just the reason that I'm not that impressed with the Patriots is I think they're sort of guaranteed to win 11 games because of their division, and that's been the case.
Yeah.
Basically in perpetuity, right?
Yes.
But then beyond that, you look at their team. Like, who are their offensive weapons right now?
Who are the Rams' offensive? Who are the Patriots' offensive weapons?
Yeah, this podcast is. The other problem is when we do multiple episodes in a row, the second one really.
Because I didn't do any research. All right. How about this? The Patriots have plenty of offensive weapons.
Yes.
They just don't have a tight end. They have the best running back room in the league with Michelle, White, Harris, and Burkhead. They don't have the best running back, but they have four super competent guys.
I'm going to overwhelmingly disagree with you about that. We wouldn't have heard of any of those guys if they were on any other team.
Sony Michel, who was a first-round pick. Damian Harris, who was one of the highest-picked running backs this year. James White, who is...
Let me ask you a question. Sony Michel was so good, why did they have to take Damian Harris as a day one or a day two pick again this year?
I don't understand why they picked a running back a second straight year, but they also have 11
Sony
draft
Michel
picks
might... Look, a couple of years ago, what's his name, had 18 touchdowns for them? The guy who poops in people's shoes? You know, the guy who got kicked out of Oregon throwing his helmet at people? LeGarrette Blount. Thank you.
Yeah.
And by the way, he didn't poop. That's Najee Davenport. I'm mixing up my.
That's a hamper.
Yes, I'm mixing up my overweight plotting. Yeah. Anyways, the point
next
is
you're gonna.
Sony Michel could have a dozen touchdowns, and James White could have 70 catches. But are either one of them a great player?
Would yeah,
either
I
one
think
of them
Sony
add
Michel
a lot of value
be,
if they're on another.
I think
team?
It's the opposite. I think he has no value on the Patriots because they have so many guys. On another team, he'd be the center point. The center.
Rex Burkhead was a nobody on the Bengals. I mean, he's just generic white guy.
He's their fourth running back. I mean, I'm not going to lose sleep about Rex Burkhead.
Burkhead's actually probably their most consistent. Like because White usually only plays on passing downs and Michelle only on running downs. So Burkhead is the one guy who actually, when he's in the game, you don't know what he's going to do.
Listen, anybody who plays consistently at Alabama at the running back position is automatically like an NFL caliber player.
Okay, you can be an NFL caliber player. That doesn't mean you're an NFL star.
Because you beat out five other NFL running backs in college.
No, you can be you're good enough to be in the NFL, but that doesn't mean you're a star. The Patriots don't have the best running back room in the league. I think
we don't know. They have the deepest running back group in the league.
I just if you have four running backs, you have no running backs. All right, okay, fine. So they have amazing running backs. Now you're going to tell me about how great Philip Dorsett is and Demaryius Thomas, Matthew Slater.
No, I think the behind Edelman. First of all, I do think Demaryius Thomas might have some moments this year, but. Edelman and Gordon is a fine starting duo, and then Demaryius.
Well, I mean, Gordon could. Who knows what Josh Gordon is, right? He hasn't been anything since 2014. So let's wait and see.
I mean, when he's on the field, he's good. Like,
he was okay last year. He wasn't dynamic or anything like that.
He's best or second best receiver. They Myers is going to get into things. Dorsett's fine. I think Demaryius Thomas, he's going to be going up against people's dime backs, and he's 6'5".
Demaryius Thomas was on multiple teams last year and did nothing, right? I mean, what did he do when Houston got him? Nothing. The Patriots cut him and re-signed.
He got injured immediately.
Yeah, that is
he
true.
He got injured immediately.
I think
he'll actually be super useful. Jacoby Myers will get some time. The issue is they lost their center for the year, so now Karras is replacing him. Now they have a left tackle who's not a rookie, but he missed.
Speaking
the whole
of Karras,
season,
is Alex Karras one of the best players in football history to not be in the Hall of Fame? And I don't understand why he's not. Is Ted related? Yeah. Is Ted his grandson?
I think maybe nephew. I'm not sure. Why don't you Google that while I talk? Okay. Yeah, Marcus Kanchkill Mason is a great right side of the line, but the question mark is at center with Karras, and then at left tackle with Wynn, who hasn't played at snap because he was out for the year last year. Yeah. And then also, we've discussed this with Rivers. We're going to discuss this with Breeze. Like, is this the year where Brady falls off a cliff? We don't know. It's possible.
Yeah. By the way, the update. Ted Karras' father, Ted Karras Jr., so this is actually Ted Karras III. He played during the strike short season in 87. Ted Karras' grandfather, Ted Karras Sr., played in the NFL in the 60s and 50s, as did his grandfather's brother Lou Karras and his brother Alex Karras. So three brothers all played in the NFL. So this is like the poor version of like the Matthewses or whatever.
They're more like the Alous.
Yeah. Well, except that's baseball.
There's just so many of them.
Yeah.
The Alomars, maybe. All right. And in defense, wise guy Shelton. Wise guy, haha. Shelton and Michael Bennett up front. Dont'a Hightower, Robertson, and Van Noy strength at linebacker. And then an amazing secondary with the McCourties, Chung, and Stephon Gilmore. This team ultimately is a team that has an excellent offensive line behind an immortal quarterback and maybe the best, if not the best, the top three or top five secondary. That's how they won the Super Bowl. That's where you're like, I don't know how they won.
Yeah.
Well, they're really bad at nothing, and they have a great secondary in a passing league.
No, okay, they have a very good secondary, that's for sure. Right, and I guess a lot of the credit has to go to Belichick because Belichick's had a good secondary basically his entire career, regardless of who the personnel have been. Mm-hmm. Patrick Chung snorting coke does not seem to have gotten any trouble for that. So, right, he hasn't been suspended or anything, has he?
No, coke is cool nowadays.
Yeah, nowadays. By the way, I'm not even sure if him being suspended a couple games would really matter, right?
No. I mean, he's a safety. Who cares? Let me give you the cores. Patriots is... I meant more
because after week one, the Patriots are playing each of their three divisional opponents, and then they're playing Washington. They're both playing... I mean, they don't play a playoff team after week one until week nine.
Yeah.
Their schedule is cake the first half.
You don't think the Dolphins are going to be in the playoffs?
Yeah. Did you see ESPN did this thing... Like, they... ESPN did this thing where they simulated the season 10,000 times, and then they chose to talk about one random time, and of course they chose the time where the Dolphins are like explode out to like a 5-1 start or something like that.
Mm-hmm. You mean they picked one randomly of the 10,000, or they highlighted a funny one?
Well, they claimed it was random, but I don't
know.
Who
won their fake Super Bowl?
I don't remember because the Vikings went like 8-7-1. They had a tie at some point, I think. No, it wasn't like somebody else had a tie. I forget. I think it was.
I wonder if any team had two ties in the 10,000 simulations.
In the 10,000 simulations? Oh, I'm sure somebody must have. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard to tie nowadays, right?
I know. No.
Is that a prop bet? Will there be a tie this year? Because I would bet that there will be.
No, I think that now there's always a tie in the 10 teams.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah, it's a 10-minute game. Yeah.
All right. Brady, Gilmore, Edelman, Mason, Wynn, Thuny, Michelle, who shouldn't really be in there, Cannon, Guy. And I had David Andrews, but now I'd have to take him out and put in like Van Nuy or something.
Yeah, see, that's not one of the better core tens that we've heard.
I don't disagree. The thing is that they're like 21 through 30 is really solid, but I'm not disagreeing with you.
And their coach,
you know, that doesn't include guys like, you know, the rookie running back and Josh Gordon, people who are like above average players but aren't necessarily like typical core guys.
I think that the Patriots have such an advantage, and frankly it's similar to what LeBron had until he went to the Lakers, or like what the Twins had in, like,
but you've seen these stats where the Patriots have a much better winning percentage against, say, your division than NFC North than they do against the AFC.
Yes, I've seen that, but I also think that it's sort of you're mixing up like correlation and causation here, because when a team is already winning, it's easier to keep winning than, you know. And when the Patriots sort of know that they have 5 wins in the bank every year, right? They lose in Miami most of the time, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Jets were good, they lose to the Jets once in a while. But, I mean, have they ever gone below 4-2 in their division in the last 15 years?
In the last 15 years, I'm going to say they at least went 3-3 once.
Yeah, I'd imagine. But, I mean, but that's crazy. To have 15 years where you're above 500 in your division is just insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so I just – every year my attitude to the Patriots is, ugh, are they going to do this again? And then apparently they do. And, again, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're in, you know, the Eastern Conference. Just the AFC sucks. Now, they beat fair and square. They beat a Kansas City team who was really good, and they beat them in the AFC Championship game, and, you know, that was impressive. And then the way that Belichick completely pants McVay in the Super Bowl was very impressive. But the offense I saw in the Super Bowl, I did not see an elite offensive line. I did not see a great running back room. And I didn't see a great quarterback. I saw a team that struggled to 16 points because the historically great Rams offense was completely shut down.
All right, we're going to talk more about the Patriots and the Rams. So can I give you some prop bets, please?
Yeah.
That don't necessarily, you won't spoil who's going to win the Super Bowl type things. All right, most rushing yards, and you could open this also. I sent it to you. Zeke is now at 3-1 now that he's playing, and Saquon's at plus 325. But if you don't like one of those guys, you can get great odds on almost anybody. Derrick Henry is actually third at 13-1. Gurley's 14. Your beloved Dalvin's at 15. My possibly beloved Le'Veon's at 16 with Chubb. Fournette's at 17.5. Connor's at 18. Carson's at 18. And Connor, Mixon, Mack, and Melvin Gordon. I don't like that Melvin Gordon bet.
Yeah, I would say 20-1. So some picks I like. I like Fournette at 17.5-1.
People are talking about Fournette this week. I'm not buying it.
I like Mixon at 20-1.
Yeah, Mixon at 21 is interesting.
Yeah,
the problem is that team's going to be losing a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of times you look at who led the NFL in rushing most of the last 15 years. It was a guy on a losing team.
Yeah. Okay. Let me give you an out there one. His odds aren't even amazing. Kerryon Johnson. He's got the full load in Detroit. Maybe finally Stafford won't throw 700
times a game. If it was yards
from
scrimmage and you want to take him at 30-1, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I just don't think that he's going to be like a workhorse. This is rushing yards, not yards from scrimmage.
All right, so you make a pick, I'll make a pick, and then we'll have somebody track it. Someone track.
By the way, I like Lamar Jackson at 50-1. That would be insane.
Well, by the way, Josh Jacobs is a locked-in starter at 50-1.
That's what I'm looking. It's usually one of these rookies. I would throw a few bucks on Josh Jacobs, Darius Geis.
The problem with Josh Jacobs is like Joe Mixon. Josh Jacobs shared a backfield with Harris, who we just mentioned. Like, he never, these Alabama guys are never really running, other than I think Robbie sent us one guy who did. It's very rare that these guys are carrying the ball 250 times in college. So,
by the way,
another guy,
weird to ask. 200-1 for Ito Smith. If Devonta,
Freeman
gets injured in week one.
No, because he's not an every down back. That's why the not every down backs like Tariq Cohen and Riddick and Giovanni Bernard. Like,
no,
those
but
guys
hold on, but
200-1.
No, but you just mentioned a bunch of guys who are only third down backs. Those guys don't run the ball. Ito Smith is not a third down back. He's a first and second down back. He's not a pass catcher.
All right, so who's your pick? I'm gonna take Kerryon at 33 for my.
I would take the five guys. I would take Mac at 20-1, and mm-hmm. I would take all those rookies. Josh Jacobs at 50-1, and I would take Ito Smith at 200-1.
All right, let's go to receiving yards. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I like this. We should have done a whole episode about this. All right. Overwhelming favorite is Julio at +375.
He's got to be the favorite. Yeah.
But that means there's good odds for other people. Hopkins is 7. Odell 7.5. I don't like that. Yeah. Thomas at 10 is actually not a bad deal. Evans at 10, Hill at 13, although
I would
think
take Mike Thomas for receptions more than I would take him for yards.
Yeah, yes, this is why they have separate. They have three separate, receiving yards, receptions, and TDs. Yeah. Antonio Brown, that's an awful deal at 16. That's not going to happen. There's no way he plays 16 games.
Why do you think that? Because I think that's a good deal.
Because they're going to be 2-9, and he's going to throw Gruden in a river or something.
I don't know. To me, I like both Antonio Brown and Juju.
My pick is Juju. So why don't you take Antonio Brown at 16? They have the same odds. I love Juju there because Juju last year was great. He had the split with Antonio Brown. Now he's splitting with like Moncrief and guys who aren't even good. Yeah. I think he is a really good bet there.
Yeah.
And Adams at 20-1. Nobody else after that I think is even realistic.
Josh Gordon at 50-1. I like that.
He's going to play 16. Even if he plays 16 games, you're not going
to
win it. I mean, Diggs at 70.
You're talking about guys who have the potential to do that were they to play a full season, right?
You know, Diggs by accident at 75 is interesting.
Saquon Barkley at 150-1.
Why is Diggs, Thielen's at 20 and Diggs at 75? So Diggs' odds are really good.
Because Diggs doesn't get the yards. He gets lots of receptions.
I know, but, by accident, you could have like a year where the winner is like 13-20 and he could accidentally get there.
Yeah, that would be quite an accident.
All right, fine. Let's skip MVP because that really goes with who's going to win the Super Bowl.
It's a regular season award. What are you talking about?
But who we think is going to win the Super Bowl, I'm saying.
How often has the MVP won the Super Bowl?
No, that's not what we're saying. I'm just saying who we think is going to do well in the regular season and, is spoiled by it. Okay. All right, Coach of the Year, though. Probably the same thing, but let's talk about it. Bruce Arians is the favorite. That is crazy.
Well, Coach of the Year is such a dumb award because it's which team did better than we thought they were going to do, right?
Yeah, but all right, if the Bucks somehow get the sixth spot at 9-7, is Arians the Coach of the Year? Probably not.
No, they'd have to win.
But that's their ceiling, probably. 9-7, 10-6, fifth seed. They win the division, is he the Coach of the Year? Very possibly, right?
If the Bucks go 11-5 and win the division, Bruce Arians is Coach of the Year, yes.
Yeah, so now, then what are the odds of betting the Bucks to win the division? They're probably not 11-1, right? So this is a better bet, I'd assume, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
Shanahan at 10-1. I don't love that. If you like that, then you better pick Jimmy G as comeback player of the year. Freddie Kitchens at 11-1.
No, because the Browns
have to win the division.
Built in.
Yeah, they'd have to win the division for sure. Frank Reich is interesting because if they just make the playoffs, you could talk him into that if there's no obvious guy ahead of him. The numbers for Belichick, McVay, and Peyton aren't super exciting. Yeah. Lynn at 20, that's a high number, but also they'd have to be the one seed.
Again, the Chargers are going
to
win 12 games. They won 12 games last year.
They'd have to go 15-1 to even consider Lynn, I think.
Yeah,
LaFleur at 20 is interesting. If that team goes 12-4, he's a new coach. I actually think those are pretty good odds. Fangio at 20.
I mean, I think the Broncos are going to suck, but I think the smart bet is to take like Fangio or one of these guys from a team that people think is going to go 6-10, but
well, if you like the Bengals, Taylor's at 40-1, and if you say like, oh, Marvin Lewis was totally the problem, the rest of the team is fine, then Taylor at 40-1 is actually pretty sweet.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, where's John Gruden
or Kingsbury? What if the Cardinals get the sixth seed behind Kyler Murray and Kingsbury was just along for the ride?
Well, hold on
30
a second. Your former co-host Ari Gold says the Giants are a lock for 11 wins.
That's ridiculous. Maybe the San Francisco Giants for the rest of September.
Well, like, very, very last on the list is Pat Shurmur at 50-1.
Yeah, so he should put his whole bank account into that.
Well, because he told me he was going to bet on the Giants to win the division, and it was like 11-1 or something like that.
Yeah.
Why not bet on Pat Shurmur to be Coach of the Year? Because I can guarantee you if the Giants win the division, he's going to be Coach of the Year.
I agree. I mean, so
at least a 50% chance. So,
all right, who's your pick there? I'm going the floor at 20. That's my you know, not a best bet. My best bet is Juju at 16.
What do you like? For Coach of the Year, I just think by definition the way this award works is it's unpredictable because they're going to give it to a guy whose team.
Yeah, but who are you predicting to win the AFC South? Think about it that way.
I don't have any hot take division winners, so that's why I don't know who to pick here. I guess I would take like Vic Fangio because there's a scenario in which but are they going to leapfrog the Chargers and the Chiefs? That's just really
if they're the
tough.
Sixth seed, does Fangio get it?
You know what? I'm taking Zach Taylor. I have the Bengals going 8-8.
Yeah. So, okay, well, then Taylor is one win away from being in the conversation there. At least. Yeah. All right, let's do first coach to lose their job. Overwhelming favorite. Do you know who it is, or have you already seen it?
I'm trying to think of the awful teams. It's not going to be John Gruden. It's not going to be, obviously, Dolphins have a new coach. Giants. Shermer? No.
Shermer's second.
Jay Gruden?
Yeah, Jay Gruden is 3.33.
Is this on that list
one.
You gave me?
Yeah, it was go down. First coach to lose job. Jay Gruden's at plus 333. Shermer's at 8.5. Patricia's at 9. Nobody else has odds under 12.
Bill O'Brien will be fired at the end of the year when they have.
Yeah, probably at the end of the year. It's a little tricky to fire him during the year. Quinn, it's possible. Like if the Falcons are 2-6, the problem is like it's a little disrespectful to fire a Super Bowl coach in season. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If you made the Super Bowl, I think you've earned the right to get fired after the season.
What about Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, if you are a person who has like tape of Bill Belichick murdering somebody, you should make this bet. You know what I mean?
To be honest, I'm not sure if the Patriots would fire him for that.
Yeah, that's true. If you have evidence of McVay committing a homicide, then 100-1 might throw that down. But yeah, I think O'Brien at 12 is probably the most interesting bet there. The Bills start off bad. Marone at 12 isn't terrible, but those just aren't great odds. Zimmer is at 15. I don't like it. And Garrett's at 15.
This is losing their job for any reason, right?
Yes, it just says lose job.
I don't want to be dark here, but there's a couple of guys who their health could come into play.
If you die or quit, it probably doesn't count. You'd have to like sort of be relieved of your job, I think.
Oh, okay, fine. All right, because I'm not sure. Andy Reid at 100-1. I mean, I don't mean to wish ill upon him, but
yeah. Interesting. All right, let's do. Let's
Bruce
do defensive.
Arians? He's been sick before.
Defensive Player of the Year.
All right. I assume Aaron Donald is the overwhelming favorite here.
Yeah, Donald's at 1.5, so there's no value there. Max at 3-1. There's very little value there for a guy who's not the favorite. Watts at 7. You know, you're really betting on him playing 16 games and then Donald, having a bad sack total. Myles Garrett at 10, I like that. Bosa at 20 is good because he could get, he could miss a game or two and still have a crazy sack total.
That would be my pick.
After that, there's nobody who's interesting. I mean, it's really almost always someone with a wild sack total. So you want to go Melvin Ingram at 40 or Bradley Chubb at 45? Like, I guess that's my sleeper pick.
I like Joey Bosa at 20.
Yeah, Bosa 20, Chubb at 45, the AFC.
Although I see Danielle Hunter's at 66, and last year he had what? I think he's like third in the league in sacks the last 4 years.
Yeah, but you're betting he has more than that this year, which a little bit came out of nowhere that he had such a high number. But yeah.
He's fourth in the NFL in sacks in the last 4 years. So
he's great, but for whatever reason, he's like the least famous of the double-digit sack guys. Like he has no national profile, which I think is a big deal for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, probably. Although these guys can come out of nowhere also. I mean, like, these guys...
Yeah, he'd have to, like, break... Danielle Hunter would have to break the sack record. He'd have to get, like, 21 or 22, I think, to break the sack record. All right, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Are we almost bombed here?
Oh, I forgot about that. We got a few more minutes to go.
I think we only have, like, 1 minute. But Offensive Rookie of the Year, Kyler Murray's 1.5. Josh Jacobs is at 6.5. That's not terrible. Haskins at 7.5. You want to bet a guy who's not playing week 1, that he could not see him till December. Montgomery, 12.5. Simmons,
but I don't know, because would you have picked Baker Mayfield last year? No, for that same reason. You're like, well, Tyrod Taylor.
He was the first pick in the draft. Dwayne Haskins was nowhere near there. David Montgomery. And also Keenum, Keenum will do a better job of holding on to the starting job, I think, maybe than Tyrod did last.
I like Miles Sanders at 18-1 and Devin.
Yeah,
Singletary
Miles Sanders is very good. I would take Singletary at 20 just because he has that starting job.
Yeah.
There's really nobody else there.
But Sanders is on a much better team with a much better offensive line, so his numbers.
Cook has another injury. Madison at 45 is injury, but like not enough to make that bet. Yeah. All right. And then defensive player of the year. Nick Bosa is all the way at 7.5 because he's got health concerns. Devin Bush on the Steelers, 5-1. Devin White, 8-1. Quinn Williams on the Jets, 10-1. He's not even starting.
My rookie of the year. Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah, my pick is Josh Allen, 13.5. I'd imagine those numbers maybe. I don't know if these are up to date because he's looked so good in the preseason. I think he could go. He could go wild. So I would take Allen at 13.5. Oliver at 15-1. Oliver might be the best rookie this year, but he's not going to get a million.
By the way.
Yeah, I just don't know how much he's going to play.
Now there's two David Longs. David Long on Tennessee is 150-1. David Long on the Rams is 50-1.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about either of them.
Who's Rock Ya-Sin?
Yeah, he's a Colts first round pick. They also have Jashai Polite, who the Jets already cut, who's on the Seahawks practice squad. So these must be old odds. So I assume Allen's nowhere near 13.5 to 1 anymore, but I would love that. Yeah. And Oliver, again, he's great, but he's not going to have any actual totals.
Yeah,
except.
Yeah,
the last one, and don't bomb us. This is interesting. Comeback player of the year. Jimmy G, the favorite, 2.5 to 1. Le'Veon Bell, 4 to 1. What is he coming back from? Like
from
a tantrum?
Not having played.
But then if he is a real contender, like if he's a real candidate, he will probably win if he plays.
Shouldn't Carson Wentz be in this conversation if he has a full season?
Yeah, Carson Wentz is at 12, Cam's at 11, but Cam like didn't miss a game, so it's weird to give it to Cam. Yeah.
Jason Witten, by the way, he's coming back from the booth.
What would Witten have to do though? I guess the league likes him. Like he'd have to if he had a Witten-ish 70 catch year and there was no other obvious candidate, then he's a totally reasonable winner of that. But I don't know.
Tell me more about how much you love Jason Witten.
All right, let's blow this thing up.